From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you, and thank you for being with us once again for Let the Bible Speak. In our continuing study of the Ten Commandments, we come now to the sixth commandment, Thou shalt not kill. I hope that you'll be able to join us day by day as we explore the meaning and the application of this commandment. I trust that these brief considerations of God's Word will be a real blessing to you. If they are, I would invite you to write to us and let us know. It's always good to hear from those whose hearts the Lord has touched through the preaching of His Word. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. You may use this address or telephone number to request our Let the Bible Speak monthly devotional tape or CD, or our Let the Bible Speak quarterly full-color magazine. The current issue of the quarterly magazine deals with matters that are a challenge to the people of God: abortion, euthanasia, and other matters of that nature. In addition to good Bible teaching on these subjects, you'll also enjoy the missionary page and the human interest features that we carry. So make sure that you write or call today.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial light strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm.
Here we go again today with another opinion poll. Yesterday I gave you some reasons why I distrust most of these polls, so I'll not cover that ground again. I rather take the recent Scripps Howard Ohio University poll at its face value and consider the fact, or the alleged fact, that only 36% answered affirmatively the following question. Do you believe that after you die, your physical body will be resurrected someday? 10% were undecided. 54% rejected the idea of the resurrection of the body. In a way, there's nothing here that causes surprise. In a society that has come more and more to believe that sinners can sin without ever having to face up to the consequences, it's not unexpected that most will reject the truth that they will be raised to stand before God. However, in other ways, this is an alarming poll. The confusing thing is that it runs counter to other well-established statements of American opinion. A few months ago, we learned that most Americans believe that they're going to heaven when they die. I suppose they have imbibed the notion that heaven is no more than a state, not a place, and that it is entirely spiritual, a state in which souls exist forever without bodies. A greater confusion is that all the polls say that between 80 and 90% of Americans identify themselves as Christian. The resurrection of the body is a core truth of Christianity, yet most Americans apparently reject it, all the time claiming to be Christians. I don't want to repeat at length what I said yesterday, but we do need to realize that not all who claim to be Christians are in fact Christians. Let's be clear on a couple of things. First, true Christians believe in the resurrection of the body. When this question was raised in the Corinthian church, Paul dealt with it emphatically. He showed that the Christian faith rests squarely on Christ's bodily resurrection from the dead. If he did not rise from the dead, says Paul, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. But if we believe that Christ rose bodily from the dead, how can we say that there is no resurrection from the dead? It's a logical and a theological absurdity. The constant message of the New Testament is, God raised Christ from the dead. His resurrection guarantees the resurrection of all his people. He is the first fruits of all who die. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. He stated clearly that the day is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth from the dead. This is the faith of every true Christian. Anything less is a rejection of Christ's own word. Second, the truth of the resurrection remains unaffected by public opinion. The resurrection of all who die is a fact. It will happen because God says he will bring it to pass. In Daniel chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 20, he speaks of two resurrections, one of those who are raised to eternal life and blessing, and the other of those who are raised to eternal destruction and misery. We will all rise again from the dead. The only question is whether we will have a part in the resurrection unto life, or will suffer the eternal torment of those raised to shame and everlasting contempt. A final word. The president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, blamed the public's rejection of the resurrection doctrine on, quotes, the low state of doctrinal preaching in our churches. And he went on to say, we have a lowest common denominator Christianity being taught in so many denominations that has produced a people who simply do not know some of the most basic Christian truths. I have no doubt that the seminary professor is right. The problem with lowest common denominator Christianity is that it is sub-Christian. It may prepare people to fit into the life of superficial churches, but it will not prepare them for a place in the resurrection unto life.
Almost persuaded, now to believe. Almost persuaded, Christ.
As we turn to God's Word, I must remind you that I preached these messages back in 1997, hence the reference to our century as the 20th century. Yesterday we closed by noting that in modern times the leading perpetrator of unlawful killing has been what is called the state. Today we go on to consider other breaches of this law, homicide, feticide, or unlawful abortion.
The greatest perpetrator of unlawful killing in the century in which we live has been the state in various parts of the world. Add to that the explosion of terrorist killings. Now the sixth commandment condemns unlawful homicide, even when it has the weight of the law of the state behind it. And it condemns unlawful killing, even when terrorists cloak their killing with the rantings and the ravings of respected philosophers. What is not usually understood, when you see a terrorist killing, the television cameras go in, they show the mangled bodies, and they talk about these people being animals. To be quite honest, I think if I were an animal, I would say that was a very sore distress, because no animal was ever as vicious. These are not animals. These are men sold to sin and Satan. But they show the widows weeping and the children weeping. And they think maybe this will move the terrorist or their supporters. But they're just showing how little they understand of the mindset of terrorism. You see, all European terrorism in this modern era is the execution. And remember that in Europe, the great terrorist movements, with the possible exception of the IRA, but it's only a possible exception. I'm not going into the reasons why I say that. But throughout Europe, the terrorist movements are not movements of the poor and the repressed and the needy. They are movements of the intelligentsia. They are movements led by people who studied existential philosophy in the great halls of learning in Europe and imbibed the follies, especially of the existentialist Jean-Paul Sartre. He's the one who gave the mindset for the modern movement of terrorism. He's the one who said that the state was institutionalized violence. Once you have law and order, you have force, and therefore it's institutionalized violence. He's the one who proposed that the reply to institutionalized violence is necessary violence. And so, when a terrorist organization goes into operation, it is aiming against the state. Here in the United States, some of you will remember the name of Norman Mailer, a man who in the 1950s and 60s set about giving a philosophical reason to support terrorism. When two young men were here in the United States arrested for brutally murdering a 50-year-old small shopkeeper, he justified their action by saying that this was not violence just against the shopkeeper, but the violence against the shopkeeper is violence against property. Violence against the stated order. Violence against the establishment. This is anarchy with a philosophical face to it. So that the terrorist sees the soft target as the soft underbelly of the state. He can destabilize it and hopefully, from his point of view, hopefully overthrow it by what we take to be mindless acts of violence. Let me tell you, terrorists never commit mindless acts of violence. They are thinking out their evil design very, very carefully. But though they do not lack philosophers, and indeed in this day and age, theologians, to give credence to their murderous schemes, God says, "Thou shalt not kill," and He condemns their terrorism. So there is homicide by the state, by the church, by terrorist organizations, and of course, by individuals. One writer says the future for murder is bright in America. Just think of it. The great cities of this nation are cursed by wickedness and violence. Little children grow up in homes where they watch television for 6 or 8 hours a day. They witness murder and bloodshed and mayhem. While television is not the only culprit, it is certainly one culprit. They go out and they put it into action. There are parts of this country where a teenager has only one chance in 5 of making it out of his teens, and 4 chances out of 5 of being murdered before he does so. Over all of which God says, "Thou shalt not kill." So there's homicide. Then, to give it its technical title, there is feticide, which we know more popularly by the name abortion. This is the national scandal. Some 30 to 40 million unborn infants murdered in their mother's womb since the fateful Supreme Court decision to allow it legally. Even the very use of the name fetus is a deliberate philosophical ploy to depersonalize that unborn child. It's not a child we're killing. It's just an unviable fetus. There's no doubt from the Word of God that a fetus is a child. In the Old Testament scriptures, in the Hebrew language, there is no word for a fetus. It is a child. That's what the scripture calls it, even in the womb. And in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 1, and John the Baptist was yet, according to these people, just a fetus. The Bible said he was a baby. He was a babe. The arguments that are advanced in favor of feticide or abortion are absolutely empty. I get sick of listening to these. Day by day, the woman's right to do as she likes with her body. Well, let's concede her the right, although it's a very dubious concession. But for argument's sake, let's concede her right to do as she likes with her body. What we're saying is she should exercise that right before she conceives. We hear of the woman's right to choose. What we are suffering from here in America, at least in part, is a very skillful ad campaign where pro-murder is now benignly called pro-choice. We're not against a woman choosing. What we're saying is if she doesn't choose to have children, she should choose not to conceive them. We're told you can't force women to bear children. I don't think anybody's forcing them to bear children. The fact is, when they come to have an abortion, they have already conceived children.
And we do have the right to say that they must not murder those children. And I don't hesitate to use the word murder there, for that's what feticide is. Just as homicide is the unlawful killing of a homo or a man, feticide is the unlawful killing of an unborn child. There's a very controverted passage in Exodus chapter 21 which will prove undoubtedly that God looks on the killing of the unborn child causing its death as murder, for which he exacted the penalty even all the way to death. In verse 22 we read, "If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe." We are told by the pro-abortionists in the so-called Christian church, let me tell you, Christians, by definition, cannot be pro-abortion. But these so-called Christian pro-abortionists say, this is the life of the mother, if there's any mischief in the life of the mother. But they have missed the point. Notice this, if her fruit depart from her. In modern translations, that is saying, if she suffers a miscarriage. But that's not the meaning. That's the very opposite of the meaning. It's not a miscarriage. It is a premature birth that's in mind here. And the going out is the very same description as, for example, the birth of Jacob and Esau. And if prematurely they cause her children to come forth, and yet if they're healthy, then there is no death penalty. But if they are maimed or killed, then the penalty will be according to the mischief. If they are maimed, then the person who caused it will suffer maiming. If by premature birth they are killed, then he will forfeit his life for killing them. I want you to understand, that's God's law. So, abortion is undoubtedly murder.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.